Hello everybody, welcome to Optional Opinion here on Anomalous Radio Network. I'm your host, Eddie V. Thank you guys for joining in. I have a special guest with me. He is my producer, an awesome friend of mine, just an amazing all-around guy, Mr. Justin Villarreal.
Welcome. I'm not that amazing.
You are amazing.
Thank you.
You are the head boss, head producer of the Anomalous Radio Network.
I'll take that. I'm head producer.
You're the head producer.
I'm no boss, though.
When I see you as the boss.
I could crack the whip.
No. He's joining me because on today's episode, we're actually talking about fear. Now, we're going to throw in some video games that we want to recommend. Mm-hmm. But we're actually just talking about the emotion of fear and why we have it. What do we do with it? Why we're excited? You know, what does it do to us as a person, and how do we actually conquer it? So we're going to be talking a little things, but mainly about fear. But before we get into that, Justin, can you actually give us some background on, with horror? I know you have the LCGH podcast, mm-hmm. and the paranormal mm-hmm. show. So, you know more about things like this. So,
thank you. I think I would not.
So just give us a little bit background real quick.
Well, yeah, I guess the basic background is that I grew up on the southeast side of Chicago to a very ethnic family, as well as having very religious background with being part of that. With that, that's kind of where the fear started, was maybe the fear put in me by, you know, angels and demons and other things, you know, running around in the dark woods, you know, that was told to me as a kid. You know, we had a story of La Llorona, which is about the lady who cries. And what happened, or at least the story I remember, she killed her children, her boys. There was like a certain amount and everything, for the love of this, you know, expensive man or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. it was a very popular man. And she did it and threw the bodies in a river. Apparently the man says, no, how could you do that? And then she eventually killed herself, and they would tell the story. It's a Mexican story. It's, you know, I'm Hispanic, in case. Because I haven't mentioned it at all. But not that it matters really about a whole lot. But growing up, I had that already in me. So, you know, yes. I had a ghost and demons and angels already put into my brain as a uh-huh. kid. And that's where kind of that started with my interests and fear. And interest in the paranormal from those things. And it was having a few experiences while I was younger that really pushed me into the research of paranormal experiences and stuff. So.
And that's awesome. Well, I just want to give a definition. What is fear? Fear, the definition says, distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat of is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. And for me personally, I believe that fear is born with you. It's just a natural emotion. And we're going to be talking about phobias, just the general phobias that, you know, is the fear of something. So, but I feel like when you're afraid of something, it doesn't mean that you're weak all the time. It's just there are some things that people cannot handle, and they get spooked, or they get, very concerned because they don't know how to handle the situation, or they don't know how to react.
Well, that's part of it. I think the biggest part of fear is we don't know what's going to happen next. And a lot of the things that happen to us are the first time things have happened, like the first time you thought there was a monster underneath your bed, or the first time you thought demons existed, or maybe the first time you jumped off a trampoline or going on to a roller coaster.
Yes.
Those are all valid reasons to be fearful for your first time, at least, to get over that. And that's where a lot of it is. And a lot of it is, like you were mentioning before, it's natural. We've had these fight or flight type of instincts in us for the longest time, and fear not only is a mental thing, it also it's a physical thing upon us. It releases hormones into our body that can some can view negative. Having too much fear in you will release negative hormones, which will affect everything else in your body, and then eventually it will affect your mind. So fear has both a mental and physical grasp over people, and most definitely it's something that's embedded in our psyche, you know, and in our nature. Should we always be fearful? Should fear be something that's because of the unknown, or you know, is fear a response? I guess those are the few questions. I guess you kind of have to see it, because fear happens in these different stages or in these different variations and all that.
Well, I believe fear is. For one,
yammering on there.
Fear for one is a mental state. You know, it's very mental, and when it affects your mentality, it starts affecting everything. So that's where the physical aspect of it comes around. What do you think is the most common fear people have?
Probably fear of the dark. I think that's most people's first fear. I mean, that was mine. A lot of people I've met, it was the fear of the dark. And first you have to step through the darkness to see that there's nothing to be fearful
of. Do you think that when it's dark, it's not the actual darkness, it's more of the sound effects? It's like the weird, there's something about when things are quiet and just out of the blue, you hear something that just doesn't sound right because you don't hear it during the day.
You know, part of the mentality of that and the darkness is you could put a lot of things in your head and create what could be in the darkness. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to play off with fears. I don't think it's necessarily the sounds. I think it's back to the we don't know, the unknown. Uh-huh. And before we know it, we won't be fearful anywhere. But that's where we're going to start off first when we're venturing into those areas, into that darkness.
Do you think that fear needs darkness?
I don't think so. I think they coexist.
I would say
imply about the unknown, which giving that darkness, blackness, you know, there's nothing that we can see. So in order for us to even be fearful, we first have to not know what's there. So I think, in a way, I think it has to be. I think there has to be some sort of darkness.
Do you think the supernatural...
Do
you think the supernatural needs the darkness in order to to create fear to the environment? So
a lot of our stories that we deal with, a lot of our experiences happen during the darkness, during those hours of the night, during those times alone. Even dealing with the paranormal, a percentage of people that cases that I've had to take on, they were depressed. They're in a mentally a dark place in their life where they don't know what they're doing next. Why is this happening? Oh, once again, we don't know why. What's happening? What's going on? What's there? It starts with that. So yeah, I guess.
Well, reason why I say that because. For the supernatural, yes, fear needs that darkness. But for the mental state, I think it's more anxiety.
Yes.
Or, you know, because you don't know what it's going to do with you.
But that's all tied together. I think fear is, once again, there's these different levels of fear. I think that's where the question was, is like, what are you fearful? Because anxiety is going to happen, you know, you're anxious. What's happening next? That's a part of fear, I think.
But
I don't think it's a separate thing.
Is it because you don't have the control when you're anxiety? When you have anxiety, you don't have control of the outcome, and you want to control the outcome. Where fear and darkness, you know that you won't have no control. You just want the answer.
I think that's pretty much. I think for me, it's the same because anxiety is that part where you don't control, of course, and. Though honest, you can control your anxiety. So a lot of this is about self-control, in a sense, to be honest with you.
Well, do you think anxiety in adults differs than anxiety into children? Like child fear versus adult fear?
No, I think it's pretty much the same. I view us as children still because this is the first time any of us ever been on this planet. So we really don't know what's happening next. We don't know when we're going to die, and we keep learning and growing as we go. And that self is fearful because what's going to be our future?
Well, do you think, do you see that a kid that has fear, like fear of the dark, when he goes to bed, he needs a nightlight? So, of course, businesses are going to be like, you know, let's take their fear and make some money off of it. You know, let's make a fun nightlight or a dream light or something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, yeah, you're going to have that because, of course, yeah, you need, we sleep with a nightlight on. And it's not really for fear for me. I think, you know, part of it's just because of the comfort of the light as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably part of it. But most definitely the people that take advantage of fear are the haunted houses, the people who have to do Fear Factor, anything where you're playing a prank on someone to get a fearful rise out of them or whatever. Those are things you have to more worry about than, you know, the nightlight or anything like that. For a child.
Well, what do you think about adult fear? Do you think adult fear spreads out more than a child fear? Like a child, could probably be like, could be afraid of the dark until they maybe they're 12 or earlier.
Adults who are still afraid of the dark, actually, and not to the point where they're like, oh my god, I won't go in it, but they still have that, like, I don't go out at night or I don't travel by myself at night, stuff like that, because they still have that fear of the dark. So I still feel the fear of a child is still within the same as a fear as an adult.
So, like, so there's a transition from child to adult that fear or that phobia stays with you.
If you deal with it as a child, yes. In that aspect of a phobia, you know, what I'm looking at it when you're telling me is more of the generalization of anxiety that we deal with as both growing up. But when you're talking about phobias, like something that's specific, like, oh my god, I can't be next to spiders, or don't turn the light off or I'm freaking out. That is most definitely, you know, a different layer of that aspect. And I don't think it's necessarily between child and adult, but it's time to deal with those phobias, those anxieties and whatnot. Because people, like I said, I know a lot of people who have the same anxieties that they had since they were kids, and they just haven't dealt with them. And that's what it is. It's all, once again, self-control and dealing with heading fear head-on. That's really what it is.
Could fear be a benefactor to, you know, making you stronger, making you think, you know, to overcome things that hold you back? Like, your fear to succeed, but you know that if you just try and study hard and you start getting A's, you see that success is coming along the way. So it kind of erases the fear.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the whole thing about like, you know, me dealing with the ghosts and paranormal overall, just these ideals of what could be lurking in the dark. You gotta go head on into it. I mean, I'm still afraid what might be in the dark, but I'm not as fearful as I was when I didn't know what the possibilities are, I guess. Even though there hasn't been a lot of things to validate things or living in the dark at all, but yes, in that aspect, you need to face your fears. I faced every fear that I've had so far. I'm afraid of heights. I could deal with roller coasters. I worked in high rises and so on. I force myself to do these things. That's when I tell people, when they say they can't do it, unless you're like mentally incapable and physically incapable, you can't tell me you can't do it. You just choose not to do it. And then that's where all this comes into play. It's our choice to be fearful. Because there's people I know that really they don't scare easily for anything. They're pretty headstrong about stuff and they're just, you know, go on with their day. But, you know, those are those rarities overall. But for the most part, you know, it's you have to head on. You have to deal with these fears or they stay with you forever. Or at least be comfortable with the fear of the dark or whatever it may be. Then just keep on, oh god, I'm not never going in the dark and I'm never going to fear and I'm just going to keep shaking and shaking and shaking until I'm calmed down.
So why do you think people are fearful of ghosts? And also, why do you think but there's some people who love ghost stories. Like, I'm scared of ghosts. And this is just an example. Ooh, I'm scared of ghosts. But I like going to campgrounds and telling ghost stories or being as a creative writer, writing stuff like
about
that.
Part of that, the fear, you know, where we're releasing hormones and chemicals into our body, fear is also like a way to experience euphoria for some people. Some entertainment, ecstasy, some of the same connections being made to be fearful to save your life, or being fearful so you can have entertainment, so you can be you can enjoy it. So so yeah, I mean, people are scared of those particular things because one, it is exciting. We get excited. We get anxious. We get excited, and some of that releases, you know, positive, you know, hormones and chemicals, endorphins, and so on, for you to feel that. Some, you know, it totally releases in a sense where we're just scared. But the part of it is just the fear of the unknown also leads to, hey, let's have some fun, you know, and that's part of it. We like that. It's not the what is how do you say what is what can't be touched. You know, or what is prohibited makes us want it more, and that's in the same aspect. Because we don't know what a ghost is, we don't know what these things are. We have an idea, or we impose ideas on what they might be, but we really don't know what they are. And because of that, it's also what makes it fun for us as well. So,
well, let's tackle a phobia real quick. So, the definition of phobia is a persistent, irrational fear of a specific object, activity, or situation that leads to a compelling desire to avoid it. And for a lot of people, we talked about spiders, arachnophobia.
Which I have quite a bit of tarantulas over there.
Which is awesome. And this might be a side rant. You was posting pictures of one of them shedding their skin.
Oh yeah, actually, I think I did a video as well, didn't I? I don't.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
If not, there's a video on my Instagram. Look for CrazyJ82, and you'll be able to find my Instagram.
But I don't know if he was actually shedding it off.
Yeah. The whole
thing. I know you did like about a 20-second clip, and I was just like,
yeah, I think it was a short clip.
Is it coming off?
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell. How was that?
It's scary. That's fear right there, actually. That's fear for the spider. That's their most vulnerable part of their life, is when they're trying to get out of that, because their body's very soft. Even if they were out of that, their body has the blood and everything has to gain right into it, because they're actually kind of white. If you actually I'll pay attention to it, it's kind of white. And what happens is their body's soft, so they don't have that hard exoskeleton. So for them, it's like, I could die, actually. And if the conditions aren't right while doing that, they can actually be encased in their own skin, where they get stuck and they can die from just doing that. So, spiders are fear. They fear things as well. Actually,
as the evolution,
so that's a very stressful experience for them.
But they don't shed a lot, do they? Or
it's that top that seriously that top layer of body comes right off.
Like how many times do they do it?
Oh, it's like once a year. Some can do it twice a year, but most of the time it's like once a year. Some are like a few years, actually. She's actually moving right there. Oh, it's too bad. She hasn't shed in almost 3 years, I think, since the last time she shed here in my house. So it's been a long time. So it depends, but most of the time it's at least once a year.
And it's mostly the skin, right?
It's the whole body, fangs, skin, but not their organ that grows inside, but the outer layer of their body.
Reason why I say that, because it looks like it looks like you know, when you get like maybe you're out in the sun in your hand, or you know, I don't know if anyone used to do this. You used to put glue on, like Elmer's glue, and then rub it, and it's to dry, and then it comes off, and you got like that little skin thing. That's how it looks to me.
It's like that, yeah. I mean, we shed skin. That's what most dust is our skin particles, dead skin cells.
Yeah,
but yeah, we shed skin the same way. But yeah, it's exactly that. They're shedding that layer of old skin off to have the new exoskeleton come. Old exoskeleton, not skin, exoskeleton.
Okay.
They don't have skin like us.
So, okay, now let's get back on topic.
Spiders!
Why are people afraid of spiders? Or as animals, as the animal kingdom, and this is, I'm just doing a general, including like insects and stuff, people are afraid of spiders. When it comes to humans, I think clowns are what people are scared of. then ghosts. Ghosts is just like, okay, we could watch a movie and it's just creepy.
Well, no,
stuff
still,
like
remember,
that.
Ghosts possibly live in our reality. So there's a possibility that they're real and they're watching us right now. while we're doing this podcast. It's all about, that's kind of scary knowing that my Uncle Jimmy John over there might be standing around watching us do a podcast. What else are you possibly watching, Jimmy John? Not me and the woman, I hope not.
But see, I'm talking about clowns.
But I can see. You gotta understand. It's not just watching a movie.
Yes,
it's the knowing that they're like invisible, that they're in between realities and stuff. That's scary to me to know that that's a possibility there. Clowns, on the other hand, it's scary, but like I think the same idea with tarantulas. They're a little abnormal. They're a little out of the ordinary of what we usually see. Now, if we saw we're living in South America and we constantly see tarantulas, that won't be as scary for us, you know. It would be a total norm. It'd be like the rat, you know, or mice running in the field or whatnot. You know, for them it's normal. For us, how many people do you know have 7 tarantulas living in their house right now? You know,
one, and that's you.
See, so it's a clown. How often do you see a clown? Not very often.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have painted faces. They're more caricatures and cartoons of each other. So it can be fearful for others. I don't think clowns specifically are a big phobia for a lot of people. I'm not scared of clowns.
Yeah. Well, with the spider things, because I know some people who are afraid of spiders or afraid of and bugs in general. To me, when it comes to spiders with you, you have a fascination with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cool. I really do. It'd be like, okay, you know, we don't really talk about the spiders, but when I look at them, I'm just like, that's very educational for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And you could consider them as pets or something if you want to. But I don't know how I would react if, you know, they broke out and they're just walking around. I would just be like, do I step on it to kill it or do I leave? Because I don't want to.
You pick it up and let it out.
But see, you don't have that fear.
Because I'm used to it. Remember what I was saying earlier? You have to face that. That's what I did. I was scared of spiders before. I've never held a tarantula in my life. It's scary to know that this weird furry, you know, 8-legged thing can bite me and do that, but I had to do it. I had to get over the fear to do it, and now it's a normal thing. Now I watch it. I'm still worried that they may bite me or something, but I'm not fearful. I can pick them up. I could do all that. I'm cautious, though, in what I do.
Cautious, you know, okay.
That's basically it. I'm cautious in what I do.
So what is the reason of to be afraid? Like, what do people love about having that fear of being afraid of stuff?
Because we're not constantly feared, you know, or we're not constantly feared other than for ourselves as a species. And two, we don't have nothing to fear. So when something's fearful, it's like, oh my God, my brain's all, what's going on? It's kind of like that because it gets us excited. It's out of the mundane. Oh my God, there's a big storm coming. How often do big storms happen? You know? Oh my God, the lights went out. How often does that happen? You know?
Why do you think some people...
Or how often it's your haunted house.
Why do you think some people love when other people are afraid and just laugh at it? Because I guess it creates a memory, like a moment, and it's just something that's so funny to them. Mm-hmm. To be like, Jimmy peed his pants because, you know, some wind blew. And then, you know, he's afraid of, you know, tornadoes or something, and we live in a city that or a state that we barely have any tornadoes. See, it's raining, you know, and then, you know, people use that that person's fear as a laughing point. Why do you think people love doing that?
Because we're horrible people. We're a horrible species, and that's just it. Just once again, they're enticing off. This person's fearful. That's kind of something excited. And if you're kind of an ass, then you're like, hey, I'll take advantage of that fear and I'll get a rise out of it. You know, plus, you know, fear is not something that's totally negative. You know, like you were saying before, it's like fight or flight or it's natural and stuff like that. So at the same time, you can turn something that's fearful and make it fun. You know, once again, haunted houses. So part of it is just our as a species just, you know, loving to delve into the unknown. And the other part because we're assholes.
Why do you think that same person who made fun of the other person that's fearful, when they get afraid, they don't like it, and they don't like when people make fun of them? Like, they get pissed off. Like,
oh, because we're just hypocrites. I mean, we're just naturally hypocrites. That's what happened.
Okay. Yeah. What's the reason that we hate being afraid?
Well, one, because it puts us in that vulnerable state. You know, state of mind, and who knows what can happen to us if that's the case. It'd be a ghost coming out of nowhere and giving you a wedgie, or some guy while you're walking in the alley who might mug you and cut you up. I mean, that's some stuff to worry about, some stuff that's pretty, you know, pretty fearful in a sense because of that.
Do you, when you're watching horror movies, and we're going to get into before we get into fear being an adrenaline rush, watching certain horror movies, and I'm just going to say this, anyone who watched It Follows, I hate that. I thought
that. I want to see it.
Okay. It's one of the worst thrillers, I should say.
Really?
/ ghost movies. I think It Follows is just... It's terrible in a way, and I'm not, and I know what that aesthetic that person was going for. I get that, but I think because of the story that was in place, didn't make no sense, and it was completely just horrific in the sense that it was just terrible, bland. It didn't really give no context. It was just like you threw something together just so you can make this, just so that you can make the scares happen. You know,
was it the jump scares is what you didn't like?
It actually wasn't the jump scares. It was the fact that there was no backstory to it.
What this thing was or anything?
To why this thing was doing what it was doing. Like, there's a sense to it that didn't, not sense. There's supposed to be a logic placed in there, and it wasn't, you know, it didn't have, like, logic that made sense. Right. Because it's just like, well, we did this, so the ghost is chasing us. Okay, was there a curse, or was there like some kind of story that happened? There's no background story to it. It's just like, I'm just gonna chase you, and hopefully I get you. Okay. And then that's pretty much it. Even with Sleepaway Camp, it's
one of my favorite movies.
It's garbage in a sense that it just doesn't, that it's funny. It's funny garbage. I mean,
it's true.
It's terrible because it's just, it gives.
It's scary.
It's not scary. Mm-hmm. It's garbage.
Like the kid when they're in the bathroom and the beehive comes in there. That's scary stuff.
That's not scary.
The tone of the film is scary too. Just that 80s style.
No, but
and
it's.
That creepy feeling when you find out that. Angela and her, you know, her mom. You find out. Should we spoil it? I guess.
The thing about, okay, before we get, let's talk about Sleepaway Camp, and then we'll get more. Okay, so the movie starts out that a father and her two kids are on this boat. They're at some kind of camp or some kind of resort outside, and there's these other campers driving a speedboat, and this girl, she is like ski diving or something like that. Mm-hmm. The kids push the dad off the boat, and you know, they're in fun play, and the girl who is now driving the other speedboat hits the family and ends up killing the dad and one of the kids. Mm-hmm. Later on, as you can see, one of the kids stays with this crazy aunt. And what it shows is, with the kids, it's one boy and it's one girl. So, the girl that's with the surviving, person, with the auntie is called Angela. And then you find out at the end of, you know, some things, but, they end up at this camp, and then stuff starts happening, like killings and like little crazy stuff starts happening. There is a point in there where one of the guys goes into this bathroom. Now, we're going to analyze this shot. So, they do a pan, they do like a kind of pan shot from the bottom of the door.
I do remember that.
To going up. Now, from the floor to the door is a very big gap that the guy, that the little boy could crawl under.
Oh, yeah.
But does not do that. So, what ends up happening is the killer comes in and puts this little, this very thin stick between the door and somehow has a beehive brought in. None of the bees are stinging the girl. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, not the, the killer.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
The killer.
Because at that point, we really don't know
who you don't know what it is. Yeah. But the beehive somehow falls on the guy that's in the other guy that's in the bathroom. And you see the killer run out. You see, like, the screen door falling. And just, it's a bad shot. You just hear some yelling stuff. And you see the next shot that all these bees are on this dead body. Like the boy have been stung by all these bees. Which doesn't make sense. Because the thing about it is, while the beehive is in the bathroom, the boy
could have escaped.
Now, the boy is not fat or overweight or anything. No, skinny as ever. Could climb
out. He's a young boy, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Could climb out of this little door. You already did a shot that you know, you could get out of here, but he doesn't do it. And then there's just so many stupid deaths in there. So much dumb dialogue. And it's just like stuff was really thrown in. It made $11 million for a movie that cost like $370,000. There's a podcast called "How Did This Get Made?" and they do they analyze it. It is on Blu-ray. Okay. And you can find the movie on YouTube. And they got some sequels and stuff on it.
Yeah, it's a trilogy actually.
Oh, I thought they had four of them.
Oh, there might be a fourth one.
Because the first director who did the first one, he didn't do the second and third one. Yeah. It was by another director. And you guys could check out Wikipedia or anything about that. And it wasn't scary. It was funny as ever because it was so stupid. And you're killing these kids or you're killing these people for no apparent reason. Like, there's no way that whoever the killer is doing all these killings, these people should be getting killed. There's literally no way. Whereas you see Friday the 13th or Halloween, you know, kind of the well-known classics, Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street. You know all about that stuff. And you know those crazy kind of killers. Like even Scary Movie was kind of, you know, had its moments and stuff like that. It's just like, for me, when I see it, I don't really get the jump scares. I kind of get like, okay, this is stupid. There's no way. If you're in a hospital, there's no workers are in a hospital and all the doors are locked. Like, okay, you're in a hospital. You have patients. Where are the nurses at? If there's a killer in there, why is the killer not killing all the patients? Like, why, like, there's not, like, a high body count? You know, why is it just after this one person who's doing the run? Like, really?
You gotta set atmosphere sometimes. And sometimes movies, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't make sense.
It's a horror movie.
It doesn't make sense.
It's not about to make sense.
There's supposed to be some fear. Now, There are some movies that I look at the shots. Sometimes I'll be like, okay, that's a nice camera angle. Mm-hmm. They're nice special effects. Okay. I can see the fear and stuff. And there's sometimes I can be like, well, that person's going to get killed, you know, and things of that nature. But there's just sometimes that stuff is completely stupid that it enrages me. I spent this money to see this stuff, and it's not fearful. Like, it's just like...
You know what's funny? I feel with you. I feel with you, though I give horror movies and fantasy movies and stuff like that a pass, just because, and comedies, of course. Well, comedy should just get a pass because they're ridiculous half the time anyways. Yes. Some things they're doing. But horror movies and fantasy stuff, you know, I get away, especially horror movies, just because it's if anything, horror movies are like the most fantastical thing out there. We could possibly have dragons, I guess. I guess we could possibly have, like, monster serial killers, too, I guess. But at least with horror movies, it's like, we don't have, you know, these crazy, outlandish, you know, Michael Myers running around causing, right, you know, all this stuff. So it's like, yeah, I can get away. Because, I mean, how does he get shot, you know, and still survive? Little did we know that later on it's going to be, we're going to find out the curse of Michael Myers and that it was a curse later on and all this and that. But I was going to tell you, I feel with you because I was just watching that Attack on Titan. Attack of the Titans, the live-action version.
Yeah.
And boy, did it remind me why I don't like some Japanese anime movie or live-action anime movies or some live-action fantastical Japanese, because it is... Oh, there's like so many times the Titan was coming, and just for a dramatic shot, here's the guy. Oh, here's the woman. Oh, and here's the guy again. And it's like... You could have saved her by now, but no, she has to die so you can feel all gloomy and stuff. And that was one time. This movie had, I think five I counted, at least on my hand, different scenes where I was like, really? Really? Did you really need that shot? But in the end, it's because of the stupid storyline that they're trying to portray on that. And I can still give it a pass. But still, I get what you're saying. It's annoying to sit there and be like, come on, you guys really think about this? You don't think she could have got up and ran already? Or that the guy could have picked up a branch and knocked the guy over the head or something like that? You know, something. Or in this case, in Sleepaway Camp.
There's something about with horror movies.
The urinal. The stall.
Oh, yeah. There's something about Japanese horror movies. I feel like kind of get it right. And to me, that's mostly ghost stories because they have,
my favorite, yeah.
Because they have more mythical kind of belief. So,
there's more lore behind their ghost stories.
Exactly. Where I feel like American horror, you know,
it's flash and story, you know, at least there's some lore in some of those Japanese. It's like, oh, this is an idea that existed for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. Although I could assume ghost stories in America can be the same, but it's like, oh, look, the guy's after his gold, or here's Michael Myers. You know, Jason, that's all we got. You know, that's it. It's not like the Grudge, if I remember correctly,
yes.
Where the family, what was it, the girl, she was taking in, like, negative energy or something like that? Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Japanese version. Not the American version. But the Japanese version in The Grudge, the version was like, I guess the mother was like a witch doctor, and what happened was she was like a soothsayer, someone that came in and stuff like that, and then would take all the negative energy and possessions and put it in her daughter or something like that.
Yeah, which the director did both movies.
Did he really?
Yeah.
So the American and the...
Yeah, because Juan is the Japanese version, and then The Grudge is the American version. Cool. Recorded, I think they recorded in Japan.
Was it the same story then? Was it?
It's the same story. Yeah.
The woman was okay.
Yeah,
I've seen both of them though.
Because it's Sarah Michelle Gellar in The Grudge. The Grudge was kind of good. Yeah. I like that one.
I knew a kid who was a cat. It was kind of goofy a little bit.
Because people even got scared of Candyman.
Candyman's scary. That was scaring me as a kid.
And people were doing... People were doing this whatever satanic thing they was doing.
Yeah.
With Candyman, you know, they were saying Candyman in the mirror three times. And I was just like, really? Y'all really gonna say Candyman? Like...
Candyman.
That's like saying Beetlejuice. That's like saying Beetlejuice three times and Beetlejuice appeared. And it's just like, this is stupid. And I can say, I think I've seen the second one. I never seen the first Candyman. No. Because I think the second one, they was in like New Orleans or something like that. And even with like zombie movies, like Night of the Living Dead, no, they're good. I think the remake of is it Dawn of the Dead was the second one. That one was really good because it felt it more
brought us back to the zombie movies as well.
Right. You know, Shaun of the Dead is funny, but it's still, you know, trying to have some kind of scares. The Walking Dead TV series could just fall into a lake and drown.
Yeah, you don't like it? Did you read the books at all or anything?
No.
No, okay. I don't like it because I read the books. I also don't like it because watching it, it's also makes me want to like, why is this happening?
And I actually watched the first season. I watched all six episodes, and I was bored to death with it. Just with the whole thing. The Purge was more of a thriller. I guess a suspense thriller is different than a horror movie. Horror movies is more like there's a killer or there's a ghost and people are actually dying. Where a suspense thriller, it feels like a mystery and you're trying to find out what's going on while trying to survive. So, like Vacancy, that's more of a suspense thriller. When those two people, that couple, they go into that house. I mean, into that hotel, and they're trying to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, that's more a suspense thriller. Where something like Nightmare on Elm Street. That's a horror movie because you know there's different ways that kids are getting killed or victims.
Dreams. Well, even in suspense thrillers. What's that, 1408? You seen that one with John Cusack?
I heard about it. I haven't seen it just
also,
yet.
There's also another one with John Cusack that I would consider a suspense thriller. It was really nice. It was, I can't remember it. But what it is, he plays like a detective or something like that. Which is funny because in 1408, he's kind of like a paranormal detective. But in this one, he's like a detective trying to find a killer. And what turns out is that all the killers and people that they were talking about was actually, it was like they were stuck in a hotel or something.
Right.
And they couldn't leave because there was a storm coming or something like that. Something along the lines. But anyways, people were getting killed one by one, and it turns out it was all in John Cusack's head. And I consider that one a suspense thriller. You know?
Yeah.
Because you're like, who is it? Oh, people are dying. Is it ghost? Is it, you know. I don't mind those. I prefer horror, like, guts and demons and stuff. I don't know why. I don't mind suspense thrillers because they're more in story in that sense.
Right.
And building up and stuff. And horror can be that too, but not a lot of horror is. But I ain't gonna lie. I'm a fan of guts and, you know, gore and tits and all that stuff. You know,
I think with horror for me, it's just like, you know, at least give the killer or whatever, the ghost or the supernatural, give that some background, some context.
So we
can understand on why it's doing it. And you could do it at almost like the midway or at the end of the movie or throughout, just finding piece by piece. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like don't throw it in just to be thrown in. Now, because this is a video game, podcast, but this episode's
what?
Been open.
We're supposed to talk about video games.
This is an open discussion. If we look at the PlayStation era, we could really just say Resident Evil and Silent Hill were some of the biggest horror games. You really can't say much for the NES and Super Nintendo, because for us in America, we pretty much had we had like Ghosts and Goblins and Ghouls and Ghosts, you know, those kind of things. We had Castlevania, but those are kind of more action games.
Yeah.
Where Resident Evil and Silent Hill,
they put you in that.
Right. So, I mean, it dealt with zombies and it dealt with ghosts, but it had a more spooky atmosphere where, you know, you're going from different places, finding out more of the story, but like solving puzzles to get the answers, which I don't know how puzzles are put into there, but They are.
Hey, you gotta move the clock to get the key, you know? Come on now. Everyone knows that.
Right. And no, they had, like, bad voice acting and dialogue. Yeah, it was, like, very campy, horrible, very yeah. B-movie. Those kind of games stand out. I know until Resident Evil 4 came out.
Which is one of my favorite games.
One of my favorites, too. A lot of horror games kind of, like, died off. So when we got, like, about to the 360, PS3, Wii generation, because of the, and sorry to say this, but because of the failure, I think the failure of Silent Hill and change of directions with Resident failure? Evil. Yes.
Man, I should get my little brother on here. Even he thinks the new Resident Evil 6 is probably one
of the... No, I'm talking about Silent Hill.
Silent Hill, he thought the Downpour was pretty good, too. I haven't played Downpour. I only played up to The Room, if I remember correctly, and I didn't even beat The Room, so I don't know any of the other games really.
Well, it's just, I guess they just weren't, you know, they weren't being scary enough. And then Resident Evil 4, because of that action-based kind of style, mm-hmm. was working, it became Game of the Year. Capcom just stayed on there. So, I think now, because of PC, there's more horror games, mm-hmm. and anyone who has a PlayStation 4, Until Dawn came out, so that's more of a horror game, but it's like a quick time event, and it got a lot of great reviews. I think it did kind of quite well in sales and stuff, and you could actually kill all the characters.
Okay.
And there's different ways of getting them killed at different points of the
game.
What's
the name of that
game? Until Dawn.
What's that about?
It's about these 8 kids. They on the anniversary of there were these 2 sisters that ended up getting killed. So, a horror movie. So they go back, you know, as an anniversary.
Or I know what you did last summer, kind of thing.
Kind of thing. So they're trying to figure out stuff, crazy stuff starts happening. And there's a killer and you don't know who it is. But there's a twist kind of almost at the end. Mm-hmm. So you kind of find out what's going on. But, throughout the game, you make certain decisions, and depending on your decisions, it will save that character or it will kill it. So, the Evil Within, Shinji Mikami, one of the creators of Resident Evil, he did that kind of horror game.
I haven't played that one. What's that one like?
That one is kind of like Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
But they kind of brought that, he brought that horror style back to, I believe it's PlayStation, I think it's on PlayStation 3 and 360. I know it's on PS4 and Xbox One. So, they kind of have those kind of 2 horror things. And then you have like Dead Rising, mostly for like the Xbox. I know Dead Rising 2, came out for PS3.
Okay.
And Dead Rising came out for the Wii. But the whole, it's like, series is on the Xbox. 1 and 2 is on 360, and Dead Rising 3 is on Xbox One.
Okay.
So, the horror genre kind of took a, like, that's why I said the fair, because of the fair of Silent Hill, you didn't really see it that much, but a lot of horror is still being done on PC. It's just now actually coming back.
Like Slenderman, that's a big game. A huge game, but that was a jump that type of gameplay.
Right.
I forget what they call it, but it's like you point and click type of stuff.
Point and click, yeah, like an adventure game kind of thing.
Yeah.
I actually had my Wii U over, and I let Justin play Zombie U.
Which was, yeah, that was intense.
Okay, can you give us more information of what you think about Zombie U? Because I know definitely for me, I had fun playing it, and I still need to finish it. They just released it for PS4 and Xbox One, and I think PC called Zombie. They don't have the U on it. But what was your experience with Zombie?
It was Zombie U. It was intense. I do remember being intense because I remember trying to crawl and timing things and stuff like that. And the controls were something that was need to be get used to, but what I loved about it was just it was intense. Like we were trying to, we didn't have to make noise at one point.
Yes.
Or they would come run after us, so you can do things a little differently. You got to be quick at what entrances you want to go to. And a part of it was, like, running. We had to run a lot in that game. It was, like, I don't remember having any weapons right off the bat to go ahead and just, like, start bashing out. I remember it was most likely looking for things and then running. Like, we were trying to compete with objectives and run. Did we have weapons at that time? I don't remember if we had.
You have a croquet. Or like a kind of like robot kind of thing. Yeah, you have that. And you can pretty much have that throughout the whole game and kill zombies and stuff. But it was very interesting to get your take on it because I think you
have enjoyed it. I would get a Wii U just to play Zombie U. That's pretty cool game. I think people are missing out if they haven't tried it yet. Then again, I haven't played all the other new zombie games like Dying Light.
Right.
And what was that other one? The Evil Within? Or not The Evil
Within. The Evil Within, yeah.
Is it a zombie game?
Well, no, it's not.
What is that? I didn't know if you said anything about that.
The Evil Within is kind of a ghost, kind of like Resident Evil, but in the style, but it's kind of like a ghost thing that happens at a mental hospital. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. So you're like a investigator and stuff like that. And then crazy weird things happen. And then, you know, enemies are trying to kill you and things like that. And I know that those games are trying to evoke fear on it, but I think when you start implicating a way to be overpowered and kill enemies and be able to run through the games, it becomes less fearful. I did have artwork up here, but I mean, when you look at a poster, or you look at a trailer poster for a movie and stuff like that, they kind of give you an idea of what that movie is going to attend. So that cover, you know, it shows some kind of fear like that. Has there ever been a poster or anything that evokes fear that you like, oh, I love this artwork. I like how they shot this. I'm like, I get the message of what they're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, really the only like poster or artwork, I'm trying to think artwork wise. What I remember artwork wise that scared me the most, was those scary storybooks. You remember those?
The Choose Your Adventure ones? Oh, Goosebumps and stuff like that?
No, not Goosebumps. Oh, Goosebumps wasn't scary. It was just good reading, you know, when you had nothing else to do in the summer. But it was, and I didn't like the stories, but I loved the artwork in the stories. I think it was like The Scariest Stories or something like that, or Scary Stories.
Oh, yeah.
It had the weird, like, black and white art on there.
Yeah.
And it was that really got me, you know, more interested in the book than the actual stories in the book. It was the artwork in the book. So if anything, that's one of them.
It's funny. Me and my sister was talking about Creepshow.
Oh, Creepshow, yeah. A favorite movie of mine. Oh, you don't like Creepshow?
I love Creepshow.
Oh, you love Creepshow. High five.
I love Creepshow. I love one of two. And I was thinking of the tar one, where it was in the lake, and the tar just comes to get the girl.
That was
so shot so well. Our favorite thing is, give me my cake. I want my cake.
Father's Day, yeah.
Yeah, that one is so good.
It's a creepy movie, too. It's how they... I think what Creepshow did it for me is always the music, the tone, you know, how it's set, and the monsters and stuff. They really take time to make it look real, you know, and just get that feeling. It's something about 80s and 70s horror that just gets it. I don't know what it is. There's something about it.
Tales of the Crypt was big for me. The TV show.
You know, there was a Tales from the Crypt movie before the Demon Knight movies and stuff came out, right?
Well, it was a TV. Well, I don't know how it goes because I know Tales of the Crypt because
a comic book, and then they did a movie. And as far as I know, the TV show came out during the movie or after the movie.
No, the TV show. I think the TV show came out first before the movie. That's what I remember. I actually thought that the TV show started first, and then it was the comic and then the movie.
Maybe we'll have to look into that.
You guys can email the show.
Yeah, just let us know. We don't know.
don't worry about it. It'll probably be in the description by time. Once you read the description, I'll just throw it in and make sure I make a note of that. Now, this one is kind of going to be, if you want to fast forward, you can. Rape and the Aftermath to Recover.
Oh, I don't know anything about rape, really.
Reason why I brought up rape as a fearful thing, and you know, if you feel like this is too heavy of a topic or anything like that, you can skip forward. And I'll let you guys know in the description where if you want to skip to it. The reason why I brought up rape is that with some rape victims, they cannot recover because they're still dealing with that situation. They're still dealing with that fear. And that fear carries over to, they can't really have a normal relationship that they wish they could have. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's one of a lot of people's biggest fear that can happen to them? Like the rape shouldn't have happened to me, and it's hard for me because of this fear. It's hard for me to trust people. It's hard for me to love. It's like kind of hard for me to go on with my life. Yeah,
no, most definitely. Of course, I've never been or have, so I can't really comment totally on that. But I mean, I know people who have, and they've gotten past it. So, you know, not saying that all cases are the same, but it's most definitely possible people to get over that experience and move forward in their life. It's just a matter of them, once again, facing that fear in order to move forward. You have to face that fear. You have to dig into it. You have to know that you're insecure and you're vulnerable and things could happen. You have no control and accept that. You know, I think that's part of facing fear is accepting. Sometimes you just got to let it happen and accept that this is part of things. Not rape, of course.
Right.
Although it happens, but, you know, these are, you know, it's part of what happened. What can you do? You only can move forward from it.
Why do you think that when people who do get raped, you know, get violated in that sense, they don't come out right away?
I think it's just very traumatizing as it is. You know, you're just taking advantage of. Some have to be brutally beat. Some have to be stabbed. Some have to be practically, you know, killed in the action of. And if you survive all that, I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty heavy on you to come from.
But why do you think a lot of people don't report it?
Don't report it?
Have you been raped?
I think it's social stigmas that have been existing for, although it's not as much as it was, but they're still like, oh my God, what were you doing last night that you got raped? You know, that type of mentality that's on there. People fear that, you know, because of that. If anything, that's what they probably fear more is judgment from other people on the situation.
That's on the list that we'll actually talk about, the judgment producer fear. Do you think that with rape, and we kind of talked about the Bill Cosby thing. We on a different show, we talked about that. Do you think that when they do recover from it, do you think they still hold on to a little bit of fear?
I would assume so. I would have to assume so.
And should they, if they find someone that they could trust and love again, do you think they need to come out clean about that?
Oh, yeah, I would hope so. So in case there's any issues that arise from that that may put you back on a traumatic experience, you got that covered.
Okay. Going to go on to the next section. Fear of others and self. And what I mean about that is that, you know, you are just like, you don't like being social. Not that you hate people, but you just have a fear of a social connection. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when you just think that, you know, you're too weak to do something, you fear for yourself that you won't overcome it. So, like we were talking earlier about anxiety, you just happen to just be afraid to do stuff. What do you think about that?
Right. I mean, it's, what do I, it's, you know, it, it's just, it's psychological. There could be many reasons why that arises. One, you could add something happened in your childhood, or just overall something happened in your life that, you know, went that way. People, you know, once again, when it comes to something like this, and I mean, for most things, you just got to face it. You got to somehow face whatever that fear is and get over that. And that's
why do you think people are afraid to be in big crowds or talk to a lot of people?
It's part of that judgment, aspect that was, you know, in the previous topic that we were talking about. And that ends to it. Overall, you're exposed. Mm-hmm. You know, once again, fear, vulnerable. You become vulnerable in certain aspects. Once you become vulnerable, that's fearful of what might happen. Am I going to be rejected? Judgment. We keep talking about judgment in that. And just overall, you know, you don't know what the reaction was. Remember, fear, part of that unknown, part of. What's going to happen next? The uncontrollable aspect is really what really drives fear.
Do you find it nerve-wracking that people are, when they have to speak to a large audience, they just like, they be ready to shut down?
I mean, I'm going to find it nerve-wracking. I think they should, you know, if that's the case, they should find some technique of some sort to help get through that and not. Be in that position at all, if that's the case.
If you was forced to speak to a big crowd, would you be afraid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we talked about this on one of the Critical Hit Anomaly shows. Most definitely. Every podcast has a little bit of anxiety, fear, and that's because you got to get in that motion of doing it. How do I start this? How do I go?
Yeah.
And of course, talking with people personally for me, yeah, every time I did, it was a fearful experience. But once I get in the mode of things, once I get going, once I get comfortable in where the situation I'm at, that fear is gone. Now it's all about criticism.
About
that judgment.
Because last month, mm-hmm. I should say, we actually went to Lake ContiCon. You know, we talked to a lot of people and of that nature and kind of got a lot of contacts and stuff like that. And they had a kind of a table there, but it kind of looked empty back in the place. Do you think it would have been cool to have a podcast being done there?
Oh, yeah.
And people watching the podcast. Do you think that's more nerve wracking? Would you find that scary?
No, because I think part of that's in my element. I mean, you saw how I was reacting with the people that were. I don't know half those. I actually only one person I knew was Jay when we first walked in and yes. talked to Jay from Jay's Comics and Gage's Lake of Gray's Lake, Illinois. If you want to say that,
yeah.
And Aaron of. Oh, God. I'm sorry, Erin. I forgot the name of your company, but her t-shirt company.
Yes.
Her t-shirt printing company. Those are the only two people I know. I don't talk to either of them right off the bat, although I will say I'm comfortable with it. But sometimes it's like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you forever, There's a bit of anxiety for that. But once again, start getting the flow of things, it's, you know me. Sometimes I become a hermit, and there's times, the majority of the time, I'm a social person, So something like that's a little easier. I think, more in my element in that aspect if I do such a thing. One, because I am in control of what's going on.
Yes.
And I think that's really it. But I think because when I'm behind here or I am, like even at the paranormal conferences, although that's kind of my element, I don't always talk about those things, people all the time. I talk about comic books and movies and stuff to people a lot more than I talk about paranormal stuff. So I think I'm more in my element if we do something like that there. And it's going to be a little fearful because, once again, these people don't know us. But once I get the wheels going, something like that be no problem at all.
Did you think that people would be entertained that? Be like, oh, someone's doing a podcast here talking about comics. And, mm-hmm. Guests are coming on and speaking about their company, about their product.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like advertising, but it's showing the love and the respect of, for the community and people who are participate in the business and stuff. Mm-hmm. It feels like it would give more availability, more views, just to be like, okay, you know, these guys, they got a table, they're doing a podcast, let me hear what they got to talk about. Mm-hmm. Do you think something like that is, it's a major step for anybody, and it's just fearful when you first do it. But once you get used to it and the flow of stuff, you just be like, you know what? I actually thought it was going to be something else, but it actually turned out this way, and it was kind of fun. No, like, you want to get back into it, and you want to engage more.
I'm doing podcasts right now. I should be going to bed soon because, you know, it's late. But for the most part, once I get into going, I'm like, hey, even last Sunday when I was with Steve Gannier, Alex Rodini, and Zena Haggerty on Nocturnal Frequency on New Visions Radio, I was a little fearful because I haven't done a podcast. Like, I did one more podcast. Did I do another podcast this recently? I want to say I did. I just can't remember the show, but I did this, and now we're doing this.
Yes.
Which, you know, people can find out, you know, more about that later, but now we're doing this, and it took me a while to get it. I think me and you have a comfort level.
Right.
Me and those guys also have a comfort level, but at the same time, we're talking about whatever. You know, there's paranormal in there. You know, it's kind of all ages. There's a little bit of a restriction on topics of what we're going on. Not saying that there was total restriction, but, you know, there's a different way. Plus, I haven't been a co-host. Like, I was a guest host. So that means that I got to make sure I talk, you know, and that's no problem with me. But, you know, I got to, you know, make sure I talk to the guest that was on.
Yes.
I'm sorry, his name was Chris Hutchinson, I want to say. He did Bigfoot. So, you know, you got to be prepared to do, you know, talk about those topics, where you want to go, how you want to present yourself doing that. And you know, it was a little rough, but once you get those training wheels on, bam, you know, you get in that mode, and it's just, this is my element, you know, too.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you just got to get those wheels going, and things are good.
Okay, so now this is the big one, because you mentioned it earlier. Judgment creates fear.
I think that's the biggest one.
Why do people fear of being judged?
I think when you were mentioning what, you know, humans are fearful, I think that's the biggest one, judgment. Not clowns or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think it's judgment. And the reason is because we go in our day-to-day lives believing what we believe, and then here comes me or here comes you and say, hey, there's another way to think about this. Oh, hey, I don't believe that. And then once that happens, it kind of makes you want to think of everything that you've been believing, because it's like, well, hey, maybe I don't know what's going on, or maybe I've been doing it wrong. And how many people know? And that creates anxiety and so on, or just the fact that what you think may be good is not for everyone else, and that's going to hurt your ego. And part of that is, it's an ego thing, really.
Do you think people are scared to be viewed as a typical, as a certain way, and don't want to be stereotyped?
No, yeah, I totally agree. I totally, most people do. I think that's why I have different shows. And you know, you already know I talk about different oops. You already know I talk about different things.
Yes.
But I have, you know, different shows for those things, because I don't always want to talk about those things, you know. I don't always want, you know, all those topics to cross over, and I'm more comfortable in those topics when I'm just focused on those topics or something like that, you know, in that aspect. So, yes, I guess. What was that the question?
Well, why people fear of being judged.
Why people fear of judging,
or, you know, like, viewed in a certain way, you know, being talked about in a certain way, just like we want to judge the woman because she's a stripper or something, but she's tried everything and she's struggling, you know, to go to school, feed her kid, you know, just different life situations, but we're judging her because she's a stripper and she's making that money, or we're even, or for some of us,
like I said, it's an ego. When you look at it, it's ego for me to judge, and it's ego for me to accept that judgment and take it personally or something like
that. Do you think it's easier for people to judge than people being judged?
Or accepting the judgment?
It's
definitely easier to judge people.
You know, because there's some people be like, I'm a stripper. Guess what? I'm making money and I'm doing what I need to do best to survive. Because, A, you're not helping me.
Mm-hmm.
you know, B, I got to do this myself, and I got to make sure what I do, you know, survival of the fittest. It's easy for you to sit on the sideline and judge me, but let's get some people to come back, find stuff about you, and start judging you. How would you feel?
Yeah.
Like, and then you want to turn coat and like walk away and stuff. I think that's why when it comes to politics, we're able to judge them on their views and the stuff that they're saying.
You should be too.
Right.
It should be easy. You should lay that stuff out there for most people, not to just be judged, but to be out. This is what I feel. This is what, you know, that's why people fear that, because to talk about those things, it's because I don't fear that. I mean, I may not have the right answers for things, but I'd rather talk about them instead of fearing what those ideas may be, because those same, that's in politics, they rule the world, you know? Politics rules the world in one way or another. If it's politics in your office, politics just at work, politics with politicians, it rules the world. So we should be talking about these issues, but we are scared because, one, we don't control any of that, which is part of that fear, and two, we hopefully don't want other people to may think that what we're thinking is wrong. And you know what? You shouldn't be fearing that. You know, overall, you should be able to fear it and then accept it and then go from there. And then that should be it and move on from that. Either fix it or understand that, hey, some people are just scared of this idea or whatever it may be. You know, they don't understand this. And that's it.
Do you personally feel, or do you hate it when people lose the fear? Like, they just give up. Like, they just going to stay afraid of something.
Yeah.
Or they let that fear control their lives.
No, I think, yeah, just giving up and controlling overall, it's, you know, something I think people do a lot. I mean, I give up, but, you know, some people overall, just that's constantly their thing. Oh, it's too hard. Oh, what's going to happen around the corner? Oh, they may get eaten when talking about, like, animals or, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, don't let the dog out because he may get bit by a coyote or something like that. And it's like, well, we can't live in that lifestyle. You know, we can't.
So I'm going to get to the last portion of the show. I have online fear. You know, people with Gamergate, you know, and, you know, people are being anonymous on social media, stuff like that. Saying that, making threats and stuff like that, created a atmosphere of that kind of fear. Human fear and animal fear. And human fear is what we've probably been talking about throughout the whole show. Animal fear is like, that animal has been treated cruelty from different owners. So when...
Well, I would say that's the same. A lot of times we are just realizing now that animals have some of the same psychology we have.
Yeah.
How they respond to things. I think the difference in what you're saying is not that, but not for me, you know, listening to you, it's more of the natural fight for flight fear. It's like, I need to survive. I need to go do these things. I need to live and stuff like that. That's where that comes into play. I think that's the difference. We humans, we have that, but we're past that because we know we can control things. We know that there's a future. The rest of the animal kingdom, as far as I know, doesn't have that total preconception or consciousness. Awareness that we have to say, oh, I could prevent this. Or, I mean, they do in some aspects, but as in like, oh, we can build a fence and get these animals out, you know, these tigers away from us or something like that. I think that's the difference between animal or other animal, because we are animals, people. We are animals. We are part of the animal kingdom. We're just one of the species on there. So, I mean, I think that's the difference, really, is specifically that we don't rely totally on fight for flight anymore, because we can think things out better than just like, I gotta go, I gotta get out of here, whoa, you know, stuff like right. that, you know.
So the last question I'm going to ask is, how can we overcome fear, and what would be the main step to help achieve that goal?
The biggest one is face it. You gotta face it. It's like me looking into the other side of what I was being taught religiously, going into the shadows to find ghosts and whatnot, to get on the ladder or walk on the roof because you're afraid of, heights, or to go on, you know, a roller coaster. Or if you're afraid of spiders, hey, pick up a spider if you can and spend some time with it. I mean, that's it, is facing your fear. The biggest thing to do is face it. The smallest thing is to do is take steps to do it, increments, you know. hey, I'll have a, if you're really scared of spiders, have a fake spider. And then eventually, you know, move on to maybe taking pictures of the spiders first, you know, stuff like that. Same thing with, you know, the fear of the unknown. Start with taking, I thought that was me, for some reason. Start with, you know, researching it and, you know, going into the darkness and so on and so forth. So it's face your fears and taking the steps to face those fears. So, you know, there you go. I think that's it right there.
I think I agree 100% with you. You kind of got to take that first step. And it's not
facing your fear. It's just, you know, well, hey, I'm scared of this. I should look at a picture for a little bit and see what's it about. Or I should walk around the perimeter of the abandoned hospital, maybe,
and for before going inside. And for some people, you know, there's support groups and stuff out there that you can join.
Join those.
Know, and my thing has always been, sometimes you just got to take a chance and put yourself out there. Like, you just got to talk to people, or you just got to... Don't see it as overcoming your fear. See it as a learning experience. See it as a teaching. You might not like it, but it'd be like, you know what? I'm scared of heights, but I got on the demon for that apparent reason.
Exactly.
I might never ride roller coasters again, but I actually did it. And it was quite fun. And it might build up from there. So be like, you know what? I'm going to try to go higher. And if
push the limit.
Envelope. And if my fear happens, it happens. There's no, I can't do nothing about it. But if I am able to make it through, I could feel like I have achieved something in my life. And if that's your goal to achieve stuff, hey, do it, you know. You never know what the outcome is going to be. And there, I think some people fear because of the outcome. But, I mean, it is what it is.
No, I agree.
But that's the show. Thank you, Justin, for joining me on this episode. If you guys want to let me know what you guys think about fear, horror movies, video games. If you want to even recommend some horror movies or video games or anything like that, you can email the show at myop2comment@yahoo.com. That's myop the number 2 comment at yahoo.com. You can find more of this show and other episodes at theanomalousradionetwork.podbean.com, and you can also find it on SoundCloud. Just type in Optional Opinion in the search and you should find some of the shows there. You can follow me on Twitter at That Retro Code, THATRETROCODE, and you can friend me on Facebook under Ever Varnell. Thank you guys for who all been reading this month's blog of Project Beauty. I talk about Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, and some other games. So thank you guys for reading the blogs, listening to the podcast, and putting your own comments and thoughts. I really do appreciate it. It was a fun project for me. Justin, do you have anything that you want to, or where can people find you and what you got going on?
Nowhere. no, you can find me on the Twitters at CrazyJ82, K-R-A-Z-I-E, K-R-A-Z-I-E-J-82 on Twitter, as well as Instagram, and probably a few other things. Just search that, you might be able to find me and find my email. Find me on Facebook at Justin Villarreal, or find the Anomalous Radio Network on Facebook as well, or AnomalousRadioNetwork.net, since we are all part of the wonderful network at the Anomalous Radio Network. And check for updates there. We can find out new shows, some of the new things that are going on, and most likely you'll probably hear from me, Ed, and the other guys in later episodes of some other shows. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for having me on, Ed.
You're welcome. And you guys, check out the Happy Hour with Johnny and Deuce, at their, on their podcast, Happy Hour Podcast with Johnny and Deuce. Check out Corey and his crew at the Digital Nerds, Advocates, .com, DNA. You can follow them on Twitter, and follow them on Facebook. Join us if you love Nintendo games, MVC Video Game Book Club, where we're playing games for a month, and we're having a discussion. We invite you guys to join in. Join the Nintendo voice chat. If you have Super Mario Maker levels, post it there on that website. I do have levels made, and you can, if you join me on Facebook or even on Twitter, I have a album that you guys can put my codes in and play some of my levels.
You're probably on the Wii or Nintendo stuff. You probably have some way people can get a hold of you.
Yes, if you want to follow me on the Wii U, just type in Optional Opinion. There's all in one word, all in capitals, and you can friend me there. You can friend me on the PlayStation Network as Okami. Okamico, Okamical. And I am on my 3DS, but I just don't have my code at the moment.
Separate from the Wii?
Yeah, separate from the Wii. You can find me on IGN.com under Anime, E-N-I-M-E. That's where I have most of my information for my systems. So you can follow me there.
Microsoft. CrazyJ82, same thing. Find me
there. For 360.
Xbox Live. Yeah, 360. Yeah, I don't got the Xbox One. I'm still not in the new yet. So.
I'll be getting one soon. Don't worry. Happy Halloween, everybody. Hopefully, everybody is having fun this weekend. You watch some good movies. Regardless, if you're going to watch Sleepaway Camp, get some friends and be ready to laugh. Let me know what you think about Sleepaway Camp on my op2comment@yahoo.com. But we're about to leave because we got some other things to do. Thank you guys for joining us on Periscope. Thank you guys for listening to the show and commenting in.
Find the video on Periscope, people.
So I'm going to leave you guys out with Okami Hikayokushu Volume 2. Sorry about that. It's a jazz song, The Sun Rises. So thank you guys for joining us, and we are out. Peace. Peace.